Celebrate and save at Ashley's Anniversary Sale. With Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep Mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
How many of you remember 4 years ago, in the shows we did 4 years ago? I know people do, because every now and then I'll get tweets or Facebook posts about the fact that you started listening during the pandemic. So if you weren't with us then, or you don't remember, I did shows from home for, gosh, let's see. Actually wouldn't have even been this time 4 years ago, because I was still in studio longer than anyone else. But maybe about this time, I suppose. I remember doing a Sunday night into Monday show. The boss said I could do one more and that was it. Then I had to go home. But I resisted it as long as I possibly could. I was the last man standing, so to speak. And so it was maybe third week in March when I finally got sent home. And I was back in studio, though my boss wouldn't let me tell anyone. I was back in studio the week after July 4th of 2020. So I was the first host to come back, and it was months before anybody else returned. And gosh, a year and a half before, let's see, it was a year and a half before the company finally forced everyone to come back. They kept putting it off and pushing those dates back for the hosts who just didn't want to commute and didn't want to come into work. It was less about the health and it was more about not wanting to drive into New York City, which I understand, the commute was rough. But 4 years ago when I did those shows from home, we had to expand our horizons, if you will. Not one time did I ever struggle with topics or how to do a show or what to talk about. Actually, it was easier than I would have thought in terms of topic and management and development. Not the fact that I was home sitting in my spare bedroom staring into a corner, because that was the best place that I could get audio. It took quite a while before I ever showed you a video of it, but there is a video up there on both Twitter and Facebook of first time that I took you inside the After Hours super secret home base. And so it wasn't difficult to connect with people or to talk for 4 hours each night. We had some really thoughtful, insightful conversations. We ended up doing much longer form interviews. And part of that I've kept since then. And also my determination to not stay beholden to every sports headline that comes across our paths. But instead, while we do cover the major events and we do obviously enjoy sports and we recognize it's entertainment and that's why you're listening, we also do a lot that isn't sports. And according to you all, whether it's stories about family or pets or getting married or now being married, whether it's travel stories or moving stories or just experiences that we can connect over, you've indicated that many of you, and I would say the majority of you, find that part of the show even more entertaining, and you look forward to those topics and conversations that really have nothing to do with sports. Yeah, I can tweet or post on Facebook this incredible interview I've done in sports, or I can post this awesome insight and I'm so proud of myself and it barely is a blip. But then I post a photo of my dog and somehow that is the, I mean, you've never seen anything quite like it, or a video that Jay and I have done on YouTube. So we recognize that the connection isn't only over sports. And so we like to do things such as the Chubby Bunny World Championship, which we'll be doing again coming up this spring. I think it's actually our fifth one. This will be the 5-year anniversary of the Chubby Bunny World Championship, missing a couple of years in between, actually, or our fifth ever. We like to do things like the After Hours Hall of Flame. We enjoy having conversations about onomatopoeia. Yeah, you'll have to look it up. Or, gosh, dogs, food. You get to ask Amy anything. In fact, we're taking your questions now on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Well, 4 years ago, to fill in the gap left by March Madness, we decided that we would do a Final Four in four different categories and ask you to send us your Final Four. Now, I had come up with three of them. I remembered three of them. And for all these years, for these 4 years, I'd remembered. We did Final Four zoo animals, Final Four movie soundtracks, which broke the internet on that morning, and Final Four breakfast foods. Those were the three that I remembered. I didn't remember that I had to look it up last night on Twitter. I didn't remember that we had done Final Four upsets of all time in any sport across any era. Well, as we start talking about it, you all start popping up with your suggestions, and now I feel like we have to do it again. So we're going to open it up. And we won't put a post up. This is just, you hear the sound of my voice, whether it's live here right now or whether it's on podcast. We want you to generate some topics. Although I feel like we've already come up with a few that are perfect. We'd not done this before. At the time, of course, we would talk about our dogs and our pets. But I don't think we had, well, we hadn't yet done the show that may have been our most popular of all time. Best dog breed. Mm-hmm. That was actually how we got connected to Matt the Musher in Alaska, because he called to tell us about huskies. Siberian and Alaskan, well, Alaskan Malamutes, Siberian huskies, the Mushers. They're athletes and workhorses, indefatigable. And so that show was awesome. Stands to reason, producer Jay, that we would do a Final Four category of Final Four dog breeds.
Oh, I totally agree with that one. Yeah. Seems to be always a hit whenever dogs come up.
Well, and there's hundreds of them.
Yeah.
In fact, there are more every day. I'm not sure if you know this, but they create more dog breeds every day.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Is it the AKA? Is that the?
Yeah, American Kennel Association.
Okay, right? So yeah. The AKA certifies different dog breeds. Now, they're not all allowed to participate in dog shows or contests, those types of things, but they do certify new breeds all the time. The whole doodle line is...
The Labradoodle, yeah, right. They keep growing.
You're oh, right. Gosh, there's everything.
They're mutating.
I mean, there's so many of them now because, yeah, theoretically, a poodle is It's a non-hair dog. Wait, how do you say it? When they don't shed. Right,
oh,
but it's,
yeah, I know what you mean.
It's the quality of their, someone can tell me how to properly say it. I'm not a big poodle fan. I hear they're extremely smart, and I know people are huge fans of them. But there's a way to say it. It's a non-hair, it's not a hairless dog. It's a hypoallergenic.
Yes, that is it.
Hypoallergenic. So it has to do with the quality of their hair or their fur. They're not supposed to shed, though, but you know, if you cross them, like, for instance, a golden doodle, which is a golden retriever and a poodle.
I like them.
Right, a golden doodle. If you cross them, there's a chance you can get more of the golden than the poodle. And so one of my best friends, she was actually at the wedding, Mel in Oklahoma, they have one of their kids is allergic. Somebody in their family's allergic. So they ended up getting a golden doodle thinking that it would be hypoallergenic and wouldn't shed. Oh no, Ruby sheds everywhere.
Oh gosh.
So Wow. Yeah, it's much more about the golden than it is about the doodle. Anyway, there's so many oodles now.
Oodles and oodles
of
oodles.
Oodles and oodles of doodles. Labradoodle is another popular one, but there's so many.
And everyone thinks that their dog or their favorite is the best, so it's a good debatable topic. I like
right,
it.
But final four, you'd have to come up with four. The final four dog breeds. That's how we'd say it. The final four dog breeds.
That's a
good one.
That's tough.
Final four breakfast foods, final four movie soundtracks. So that's one that's been suggested in multiple places on both Twitter and Facebook. Another one that I really like, and I was actually sharing some of these on Twitter when I got home on Tuesday morning. But another one that I really like is, are you ready for this? Final four TV shows.
Gosh, to narrow my favorite TV shows to four.
We're both huge TV fans. We love TV.
That's hard. Am I going like nostalgia? Am I going on just like critically acclaimed? My favorite, what I think the writing is? There's so many options, so many factors here.
Mm-hmm. How about this one? It's going to blow you away. Although maybe fewer to choose from. Final four ice cream flavors.
There's a lot to choose from.
Right?
A lot.
Or as you and I were kind of stumbling through this on Tuesday morning, final four candy.
I don't know if I could do that. I have so many favorites. I think I have like eight favorites.
Right. See, we can't ask Jay about candy. We can't ask Jay about soda because he can't keep it together.
No.
It's a problem. He can't keep it together. All right. So that's kind of where we're starting. That's the crux of what we do. And then on four consecutive nights/mornings during Final Four week, we will do our Final Four categories. And the idea is that you send your answers to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and you get retweeted. Sometimes I promise that Jay and I will do that. And it's actually rough because then we get hundreds and hundreds and we can't keep up. But on our Facebook thread, so many of you communicate with one another and you look at everybody else's answers. So that works out perfectly as well. So I'm kind of toying with some of those right now. Dog breed, ice cream flavors, candy. We can't do two foods, I don't think. We need to have four completely distinct categories. TV shows I love.
Yeah, TV shows.
But see, is it TV shows and streaming, or is it just TV shows, like actual terrestrial TV?
No, I think you got to include streaming.
You
like,
do?
Yeah, like shows that were on Netflix or...
Oh my gosh, I don't have Netflix.
Well, you know, then they won't be in your final four. That's all.
That's true.
Like, you know, Netflix shows are like, but you have Amazon Prime, right?
I have Prime.
Or Paramount.
I have Paramount.
Yeah,
so those are the two, and I have Disney Plus.
You do have Disney Plus. You have Netflix too.
Just like you have Paramount. You know what's really funny, Jay? Whenever I turn on Disney Plus and watch, say, an episode of Clone Wars or watch a movie. I have not watched the Taylor Swift Eras Tour, though apparently in the first 24 hours it had 5 million downloads.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it was on there.
Right, it is. Anyway, every time I open it up, I see continue watching. I'm like, wait, I didn't watch that.
Who's that? Who's that on there, Disney Plus?
And then I try to figure out which of... your family members was watching.
It's me.
It's you.
Usually just me. Yeah.
No, it's not. You're not watching Lady and the Tramp.
Oh, who was watching that?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
Maybe they are using it. At least it's getting good use, right?
It is. Trying to think what else was recently on there that was continue watching. I think Moana, which I was like, that's not Jay either. Jay's not watching
I don't
Moana.
Like that one. I'm a big Disney guy, but those two would not be my go-tos.
All right. So what we're needing then is final four categories. Can you come up with any yourself? I suppose we could do something goofy like Final Four art supplies. Final Four tourist traps. Final Four vacation destinations.
I was just going to say that.
But that's also really tough because there's going to be so many that nobody's ever heard of, right? Because there's going to be places that people have gone that are obscure,
places,
right?
Yeah.
Small towns that no one's heard of. So that one I feel like would be a little bit too difficult in a globe with as many destinations as ours.
Like bands or musical acts.
Final Four islands.
Islands. Okay.
Let's see. If we were going to do a sports one, which I'm kind of, I'm meh on, we could do Final Four mascots. Someone suggested Final Four mascots. And now we've already got people who are writing in with their Final Four dog breeds.
Oh, they're already coming
in? Yeah, no, you have to wait. Don't write in yet about your Final Four dog breeds. This is for Final Four week, you goofballs. Hold your horses. But see, anything to do with animals is going to get people fired up.
Zoo animals was a really good one.
I'm telling you, it got way more play than I thought it was going to. I thought it would be, so it was Chris and Dave and I who were working then, and I don't know who was in studio or in the control room that week, so they had to rotate out, so one would be on, the other one would be sleeping. I mean, they were supposed to be working, but they never were. But I think it was Dave who was in the control room that week, and Chris was the one who was supposedly doing social media at home, and I just remember the three of us were blown away by the number of people who weighed in about zoo animals.
Thinking just like, I don't know, fast food French fries. Is there not enough of them?
I don't think there's enough of them.
Not enough of them.
Yeah. I just got this great suggestion from Josh, who's a Browns fan, according to his Twitter. Final Four video games. Now, see, that's a completely different generation. I love that. Mine would be old school because I grew up with Commodore 64 and Burger Time. I'm telling you.
Burger Time? I think that's back in now.
Is it?
I think
now,
so.
Now, see, all I want is a Burger Time game on my computer. And I would.
Well, Wordle.
Luxor. Wordle.
That would count, technically, right? Would you count that?
No,
An
app? No, that's a word game.
No,
it's like a puzzle. It's not.
But, like, so is Tetris, and that would count as a video game, right? Different, like, that's like a puzzle game.
But Tetris was a video game first before it was on your phone.
Yes, true, correct.
Wordle, I don't know. I guess we'd have to define it.
So how about, like, Candy Crush? You know that app?
That's not a...
Is that a video game? Huh. Or is it an app?
Well, it can be. They're not mutually exclusive, but it can't be a word game. That's not a video game.
Okay.
Video game has to have... You have to be moving a character around the board, I think.
Okay, I see.
Or a character or characters.
I like video games. That's
but we also
one.
Talked about Final Four board games or...
Yes, we did.
Like party games.
Like Monopoly.
Oh, Final Four party games would be fun.
Like Pin the Tail on a Donkey?
But, no. How old are you?
It's a party game.
I know, but for five-year-olds, not for...
It's a party. There's a party on there.
All right. So if you have suggestions, we're looking for Final Four categories. And in essence, we're looking for a category of something from pop culture or that's popular outside of sports. And it needs to have more than 12 possible answers, right? We're looking for a wide open category. Anything that had to do with food or fun or family or, anything like that, it would be perfect. Canines or felines, fantasy, This is going to be so fun. I never anticipated that we'd bring it back, but it was a suggestion on social after we started talking about it yesterday, and it seems like the perfect time. 4 years later, it's really the mathematical ties here. 4 years later, it's 2024. It's the Final Four again. Let's go. So that's what we need. We need your suggestions. And I don't, Jay, what are we going to do? We're going to vote? We're going to have someone pick them for us?
I guess it'd have to kind of be to a poll.
Or well, we can't. We can't do a poll.
I guess there's really no winners in the end here, right?
Fine. I'll do the dirty work and I will pick them. So you can send your suggestions to either Twitter, A-Law Radio, or to our Facebook page. Now, coming up, and we're not going to put a post up. Just find us and tell us what your Final Four category would be. Coming up in 45 minutes, Jesse Agler, live from Seoul, South Korea. He's the play-by-play voice of the San Diego Padres, who had a miserable 2023 campaign. They've since traded Juan Soto. They've since tried to, well, they lost Blake Snell. They've tried to figure out ways to dial back on payroll and still be competitive. But on this particular occasion, it's not about winning the division. This is about first ever regular season baseball games in South Korea. It's about Ha Sung Kim. It's about Yu Darvish and Yamamoto and Shohei and different guys that fans are showing up to see. And I think that's really cool that baseball can kind of extend not just its footprint, but knowing the lift and knowing the interest that is building in Asia. I mean, the Dodgers are so far ahead of this, but it's worth it to them to pay $100 billion to try to expand not just their popularity, but their roster with Asian players, especially when you're talking about players like Shohei and Yamamoto, because now it's become a pipeline. And now you're going to have other Japanese players and other Asian players who want to play for the Dodgers for that very reason. So yeah, there's a lot that we can talk about with Jesse Agler, but he'll join us coming up at the top of next hour from Seoul, South Korea. On Twitter and Facebook, you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, but we're asking you as well. We need some Final Four categories and what's worth staying up overnight. If you could only pick one, which one? Is it March Madness? I guess it's not staying up overnight. It's worth losing sleep for. What's worth losing sleep for? Amy, get your categories right. There's just a lot of categories out there. So many categories.
Colors.
Huh?
Colors.
Colors? Are there enough, though?
It's a lot of colors.
Final Four colors? Yeah, but you thought lavender was a color and not a plant.
It is still.
See, I don't know. I'm a little bit nervous about dudes trying to come up with colors.
I mean, you got like sky blue.
This is right on the heels of having a conversation with colors about colors with my husband when we were trying to pick a color for the wedding. And it was Christmas time, so he wanted red and green. And then when I told him purple, he was like, great, purple. And then I had to explain that there are, I don't know, 4 dozen shades of purple out there. Oh, it's very important that we match them.
See, there are a lot of colors.
I know,
out there.
But how many guys can actually do more than say purple, red, blue, orange? I guess if it's a color of your particular school or mascot. What about mascots?
Yeah, mascots is good. There's a lot of them.
This is going to be tough.
College, too. This is just like all mascots.
I might go with the Stetson Hatters.
Like the Stanford tree?
All right. We're going to figure it out. We've got a couple weeks to decide which ones. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, also on our Facebook page. Great to have you with us. 855-212-4227. Right after Anthony Edwards delivers a candidate for Dunk of the Year, Zion Williamson may have outdone him. That's next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Nikhil reached in on Keyonte George and turned him over. It's another Keyonte George turnover. And goes up for the dunk, and Thunder slams it in traffic over John Collins. And Ant may have hurt his left hand. He comes right to the bench. That was sick. He took off, launching himself to the iron. Collins is down. And Ant comes over to the Wolves bench, and he's actually gone back up the tunnel. I wonder if he might have hit his finger on the rim and maybe dislocated something. Ant looks down at his left hand.
Oh, my God. Hey, that's my best dunk of my career. I'm not going to lie. That's.
Oh. You've had some good ones.
Now, I didn't even react because I dislocated my finger. You see it?
On your left hand, yeah, too.
I couldn't react to it. I wish I could have reacted to it. I wish I could have.
Getting you to the good half of your week. It's the Hump Show on After Hours.
You'll have to decide which one is the dunk of the year, but we had back-to-back candidates on two nights. First from Anthony Edwards, as you hear on Timberwolves radio, and then they were playing again, and he was up to his old tricks on Tuesday night. But the dunk was Monday night over the top of John Collins. He launches almost sideways, not directly toward the hoop, from the free throw line, is above the rim, and leapfrogs Collins and comes down with this massive dunk. But as he does so, he dislocates his finger on the rim. So he's hit his head on the rim. He's dislocated his finger. But still, magnificent, marvelous, massive, monster moment for Anthony Edwards. Well, we know that Zion Williamson is good for moments like that. And now that he's healthy, finally, and playing well, the Pelicans are a force to be reckoned with. And, well, he's just a flat-out force.
Ball stolen away by Najee Marshall. He took it away from Thomas. Throws a lob for Zion, and a two-hand slam. Wow. A steal and a transition lob to Zion Williamson, who was flying in.
Alley-oop Z.
Fly, big boy.
And that's what everybody in this building has been waiting for all night long.
The soaring, he has been trying to catch a lob. That's the third opportunity, and he cashed it.
And it started defensively with the Najee Marshall steal.
I think he was 2 feet above the rim. Fully extended, he was 2 feet above the rim. And as he kind of pulls his legs up behind him, man, it was spectacular. He got ups. Zion Williamson had 28 points, but none that got a greater reaction than those two. And you hear first Nets radio and then Pelicans radio. And what I love is that Zion is healthy, he's in shape, and he can actually do this. And of course, his teammates are looking for him. It was what, Najee Marshall, right, who threw the ball up in the air. And so Zion was asked post game what he was thinking when he saw the steal.
Throw it up. Because it was crazy because me and him had like just talked about it. He said, hey, man, you go to the paint, you need to start dunking. So when he got the steal, I said, oh, he's throwing it. So he threw a good pass and went and got it.
Z was great. His force, his ability to dissect the defense, get to the basket, get to the free throw line, make the extra pass when it's there. He carried us in that second half.
Is Najee your best lob thrower on the team?
Najee and B.I., they're both pretty good at it. But, you know, Z goes up and catches almost anything. So he makes it easy to throw it to.
B.I. referring to Brandon Ingram. But, yeah, if you've got a healthy Zion who's running the court and can get, as Willie Green says, force. I mean, that is, he's force. All right.
I wish I had those bunnies.
I've always been impressed. And again, this is when he's healthy. But going back to his days at Duke, do you remember he blew out a shoe in one game? That was Duke UNC, right? But he's got such force and power and explosiveness, and yet he can be really light on his feet. He's got great touch and also has awesome footwork. It's the whole thing. But the challenge is to stay healthy, and then when he's healthy, stay in shape. And that can be right at catch 22. Because if you got lower body injuries, it's really hard to then stay in shape. And we were talking about this earlier, some body types, if you don't work out, you lose weight. But that's not Zion. That's not me. And that's not Zion. If I don't work out, I put on weight just like Zion does. And so it's, and with his size and obviously with the force, he's not that force, not the Star Wars force. Although, Jay, did you notice that there was, in fact, a Star Wars marathon on TNT? This is what I was, they were doing the original trilogy. This is what I was thinking. They expected people to be looking for the first four. And the channels for the first four include, you know, like the four channels that will be carrying men's NCAA games are CBS, True TV, TBS, and TNT. And do you know what happens when people can't find it on CBS? Then they look for TBS. Then they look for TNT. Well, so TNT strategically put Star Wars on just to remind people that they do Star Wars marathons.
You know, I did see that because, like you, I could have went to the channel guy, but I was just flipping through trying to find the game and found it on True TV, but, of course, went through all the other ones first.
Uh-huh.
Got stuck on Star Wars for only a couple minutes, and then I moved
well,
on.
No, I did both. I went back and forth between True TV and TNT,
brilliant.
Watching Star Wars, but also catching the game. So, yeah, I think that was sneaky. That was sneaky of TNT to put Star Wars on there because they know people get sucked in. You and I. Yes. Anyway, so True TV, it was where we had the first four. But it was Star Wars that I got stuck on for a while there. So not that force, but the force as in E equals M, E, what's that formula? E time, E equals MC squared.
Yes.
Yes. E equals MC squared. I like it. One of my favorite things about Oppenheimer, have you seen Oppenheimer?
I just did, actually.
Oh, my gosh. I just saw it a week and a half ago. Okay. And you've seen it, Jay.
I saw it, yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite things is that it includes Albert Einstein. He's in it.
Critical part of it. Yeah.
Albert Einstein's in Oppenheimer. Yes, he plays a big role. Had no idea. In fact, I was thinking, is that real?
Well, that's how they wanted it at the time. Yeah. So,
yeah. That's true, I guess.
I will say that. That's the one that I haven't fact-checked. I don't know if all of... I mean, it's a movie. So, like, I don't know what's right and what's real and what's not. I haven't looked. I try to take things for the movie aspect instead of, like, you know, is this historically correct? I don't know.
I always go back. When it's a movie about history, I always go and Google, what about Oppenheimer is true?
Yeah.
You know, what's not true?
Yeah.
So I love to do that. So I did that.
The only thing is that sometimes it takes away, like... You know, some people get upset. Well, this is messed, like JFK. They get so upset about certain things that weren't really historically right. And it's like, yeah, no, I know, but it's also a movie. Like, you got to give it a little bit of license to entertain. Otherwise, it kind of becomes 3 hours of, wait, what?
Right. I mean, it's the same thing with a movie that's, like, based on the Bible, right? So Noah, I remember watching that I think it was even last year, was like, wait a minute, Russell Crowe was Noah. But also...
Really?
Yeah, no, it was. I don't
miss that.
Yeah, it was. It's an older movie, but yeah, same kind of thing. You watch it and you think, all right, well, but it's a movie.
You know, if that's the case, like, you know, Gladiator, they have like Australian accents. They're in Rome. I mean, like it's a movie. Like,
you have a movie where clearly they're not supposed to be speaking English. Right, like,
well, that's what I mean. Like, at some point, like, you just gotta, you know, take the step back from reality.
Inglourious Bastards. The other one with Tom Cruise, Valkyrie.
Yes.
Where you have a movie that's set right in Italy
or Germany
and everybody's speaking English. Exactly.
That bothers me.
That's what I'm saying. There's times where you have to let that stuff go. Sometimes it's annoying and sometimes you just got to let it go. So for Oppenheimer, I thought it was a really good movie, but I don't know if everything is 100% accurate.
It was so long that the Hubs and I had two bags of popcorn.
Yeah, I will admit.
But it was worth it.
I did... Something I try never to do this, but I didn't have 3 straight hours. I saw it in 2 different days. I don't like to watch movies that way because it does detract. It takes away from it. I just didn't have, I had like an hour one day and I was like, I'm never going to get 3 straight hours. I think I watched it in 3 different parts.
I've said like more than once that I need to watch that movie again because there's so many characters that it was hard to keep everybody straight.
Yeah. No, I would definitely like to, I would love to be able to see it once in one shot, but even still, I need to watch it again to digest it a little bit better. But it was very good.
It was. Make sure you do your fact checking. All right, coming up next.
Now you're going to make me do that.
We are just over 2 hours away from the start of the Major League Baseball season. Opening day actually takes place in Seoul, South Korea for the first time ever. Dodgers, Padres. Now, top of the hour, Jesse Agler will join us from Seoul. He's getting ready to do the broadcast for this first game. But before that, just some of the money. Three players for the Dodgers cost them $1 billion. Three players this offseason cost them $1 billion. So some of these numbers are outrageous and monopoly money, and yet the Dodgers, they're on to something. You can tell they're on to something. Also, it's kind of crazy to think about Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, and Shohei Ohtani all in the same lineup.
Yeah. I was just thinking in my head, I feel like, isn't it two players that are $1 billion too? Just Yamamoto and Ohtani together?
No, Yamamoto, Ohtani, and Glasnow cost them $1 billion.
Insanity.
It is. And yet, they're worth it.
And the weird part is, we're probably going to get to the point where somebody's going to actually get $1 billion contract at somewhere.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. If Ohtani got what he did, there will be someone at some point. And he's not repped by Scott Boras. It's brilliant.
Mm. That's why I didn't sign in March.
<You're right. laughs> It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Here's the pitch. He swings and drives the ball deep out into left center field. It's out by the wall. And that one is out of here.
There's a swing and a drive deep to right field. This ball's headed back. It is gone. Home run number 29 for Freddie Freeman. And the Dodgers lead it 3-1.
Mookie Betts has scored two tonight. And Betts with a long shot to left. And it is gone. A home run. Mookie with another.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Dodgers and the Angels radio networks, and pretty soon we're going to get actual 2024 Major League Baseball play-by-play for games that count. And the first ones come from Seoul, South Korea. And these are two teams that are coming from opposite directions. They know each other well. And my goodness, they're what? 90 minutes apart, San Diego and Los Angeles, if even that. So I could be a little off there. But we know that they have a fierce rivalry, although more lopsided in the last couple years. The Dodgers have won 10 out of the last 11 NL West titles, falling short, was it 3 seasons ago to the San Francisco Giants when they both were over 100 wins and it went down to the last day of the regular season? Padres, meanwhile, pushed the Dodgers in the playoffs 2 years ago, so going back to 2022, and then got to the NLCS where they lost to the Phillies. So that was this incredible rise. Padres fans and the stadium were lit. They spent a ton of money on both bats and arms, though more bats, big, loud bats. Manny Machado, Juan Soto, well, they traded for him. Fernando Tatis, of course, he spent most of 22 being suspended and being injured. They went big, and they thought they could build on that NLCS appearance in 22. Except it was a big letdown and a huge disappointment in 23. So they divest themselves of some pieces and some salary. They don't bring back Blake Snell. Juan Soto, he's gone. And while they still do have stars like Manny Machado, and they still do have local talent and recognizable talent like Joe Musgrove, it's not the same Padres. And here they are starting against a Dodgers roster that has Shohei Ohtani, and we'll see the debut of Yoshinobu Yamamoto coming up in game two. Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, MVP candidates last year in the National League. So what about the competition in the NL West? It's Padres manager Mike Schilt.
From my lens, we compete against ourselves. You know, it's not about who else in our division. I can't control it. Wouldn't even begin to try other people's perceptions. All I can talk about is our clubhouse and the view of which we take it and I take it. And that would be that, you know, we play our game. We're going to be respectful of our opponents. We have high expectations, and that doesn't change regardless of who's in our division or who's not in our division. You know, we're the San Diego Padres, and we played our game.
They've got an uphill climb. They do. The Dodgers are going to be tough to unseat in the NL West. And the Giants have made a bunch of noise to themselves this offseason. Still, though, regardless of what happens in the rest of 2024, this is a damn cool way to start the 24 season. Hope springs eternal. And for Fernando Tatis, it's amazing to be a part of this event in Seoul, South Korea.
They're really loud. And also that they're almost standing up 90% of the game. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to that, especially playing in front of them. I feel like that's going to be a really beautiful experience all the way around for them, for us. So I'm ready to give them a show.
They've had some exhibition games, and the atmospheres have been electric. And coming up in just 9 minutes, 9 minutes to Jesse Agler, who's the play-by-play voice of the San Diego Padres on their radio network, the flagship being our affiliate in San Diego, 97.3. And so he's going to join us from Seoul, South Korea. That's awesome. As for the Dodgers, well, they've got three MVP candidates. And it's just kind of a fun thing with Harold Reynolds and the three of them, Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, and Shohei Ohtani. Because even guys like Freddie Freeman were excited when Shohei became a Dodger.
That week, you know, hearing about planes going to Toronto and stuff like that. I think we're all just like, you know, when he signed with us, I don't think I lost a smile for a few days. You know, it's just one of those things where we get to have Shohei on our team and be a part of this organization, and you know, get to play with Shohei.
It's not just about playing with Shohei Ohtani, though now he will be a draw. Yamamoto may say he did not pick the Dodgers solely because of Shohei, but that had to help the Dodgers. That and the money, of course. But these guys, Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, they get to help each other in the lineup. Shohei will eventually pitch, but they get to see this machine work. I mean, the Dodgers are bidding to be a global phenomenon. They're well on their way. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Celebrate and save at Ashley's Anniversary Sale. With Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep Mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
When something happens to your car, you might say,
"No! My car!"
But what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.